Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Shh. I sound like the nuns now. Shh. Okay, so here we'll continue. Volume 20, October 6, 1926. Ah, my daughter Louisa, not doing my divine will is divine life that the creatures reject. So Jesus is giving us a truth. You know, as Catholic, we want to be Catholic. We want to be faithful. We want to be obedient. What Jesus is saying here is, by not doing my divine will, it's a divine life that we are rejecting. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to allow him to reign in us to such a degree that he is going to, it's going to be something that's very, very beautiful. So he says this: it is not like practicing the virtues, where they reject gems, precious stones, or ornaments and garments that if one does not want them, one cannot do without. One can do without. Rejecting my holy divine will is to reject the means in the order to live. And this is live a life that is of divine. It is to destroy the font of life. It is the greatest evil that can exist. Therefore, one who does so great an evil does not deserve to live. On the contrary, he deserves to die to all goods. Now you can see what's coming. See, Jesus says the whole reason for divine justice, he says, the kingdom is coming. So he says, those who will be here, he says, will be the survivors. That's what he says. He says four things. Number one, the chastisement will be so severe that the majority of humanity will be gone. Number two, he says that my mother is marking all her children and no harm can come to them. And number three, Jesus says that the children of the divine will, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. And number four, he says that the survivors will be living in God's divine will. Why? You've heard of the 3 days of darkness. After that is the kingdom. Jesus says, get ready. He says, you have to get ready. Our Lady, 70 years ago, Our Lady of Revelation said that time has now come to an end. And it was immediately approved by Pius XII. Why? Because 10 years earlier, Our Lady appeared there to a woman and said to the woman, basically, tell the next person that you meet, he's going to be the next pope. So he knew that from this little grotto in Rome, Pius XII was told he's going to be the next pope. And he goes, where did you hear this? He was a cardinal at the time. Where did you hear this? Da, 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 da. What happened at that point was when they came back, and then Bruno had a knife to kill Pius XII. Bruno was going to kill him. And Our Lady appeared and says, why are you trying to harm my son? He goes, who are you? And, you know, she says, I am the basically the Virgin of Revelation. So he, when he heard this, he goes, of course. It was immediately approved because he was already told that he would be the next pope. So again, what's coming is, like Jesus says, therefore, the one who does so great an evil by not living in God's divine will, not doing God's divine will, does not deserve to live. And that capital L is to live eternally. On the contrary, he deserves to die to all goods. So that's why we're here on earth. We're here on earth to prove to Jesus that we want the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We want eternity. And that's why I say when you pray, pray in the name of everyone. At Holy Mass today, we're going to pray for everybody, past, present, and future. And Jesus says, the children of the divine will, when they pray, I hear their prayer because I am praying with them, and their prayer is eternal. Why? Because Jesus is doing it in us. Okay, so what does that mean? God hears all mankind praying with our voice. And it doesn't mean your posture. It doesn't mean kneeling. It doesn't mean with your head bowed. You pray with your whole heart, mind, and soul. A lot of times I pray prostrate while I'm sitting, because in my mind's eye, I'm prostrate on the ground. When I'm in front of the Blessed Sacrament and there's people there, you know, you don't do a grand show. You know, you close your eyes. You can, and that's the other thing. The 33 visits that Our Lady, our Lord asks Luisa to do, is we should be doing as well. The 33 visits are very, very important. It's in your mind. This is what I mean by bilocating. Close your eyes. Let's if you've ever been in Washington, D.C. at the National Monument, let's go down to the grotto. Let's kneel in front of one of Our Lady's image. How about the image that Bob Hope put down there, Our Lady of Hope? You know, adore our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Honor Mary. Go to where you were baptized in your mind's eye. Go to, if you've been to Rome, go to the chapel in Rome in your mind's eye. What happens is you are actually there. See, Jesus, he's going to show you things that are going to astonish you in the divine will. It's not a pious thought. It becomes an actuality. And so, like I was talking earlier today, each one of us is called to be a divine masterpiece. Now, what's the difference between a diamond, God working on a diamond, and God working in soapstone? You know, you could be the diamond, I could be the soapstone, but it's, in God's eyes, it's equal. He's making a divine masterpiece. See, it's not to be jealous of anybody. Oh, they have this, they have that. No. It's to go to your room, close the door, and pray. Get into intimacy with Jesus Christ. Not a personal relationship. This is the Protestants have it all wrong. You know, people have a personal relationship with the devil. How do we know? You go to confession each week. You are in love with sin. You are following the lead of the devil. That's a personal relationship. It's not just to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because we have one with the devil. If we go to confession, it's very clear. What Jesus is asking of us is to have intimacy with him. When we receive the Holy Eucharist, Jesus enters the Holy of Holies of our soul. Jesus is alive in us. Jesus is there. No one is allowed into that interior part of our soul. No one. You can invite the Blessed Mother in. You can invite your guardian angel in. But no one else is allowed there. Because the intimacy that God wants with you, this is what Jesus says to Luisa. It will be as if each and every one of us had our personal Jesus as our God. Personally, we know him in a way that no one else knows him. And he knows us more than anybody else knows us. And what the Lord is asking, he's really asking us to, like this here, to enter into that mystery, to enter into this life. He wants us to, he says, if you don't want this, you don't deserve to live. And that's where the devil is. The demons are living dead. And what's the biggest, I mean, we can see very clearly the thing that everyone on Halloween is involved in. It's the living dead. I want to be a living dead. What's wrong with you? Halloween, Holy Eve, was to dress as the saints. And now it's completely changed to demonic. God is asking us, seek life. Be alive. You know, this September 23rd, there's going to be a great sign in the sky. And this is not a prophecy. It's an actuality that's going to occur. The only time in 7,000 years we're going to see in the heavens what John the Evangelist wrote 2,000 years ago in Revelation 12. What does Jesus say? He says that when he appeared, he put a sign in the sky. This is the star of Bethlehem. And he says, the Magi were drunk with joy. Drunk with joy. And where do you hear that joy again? That's in Pentecost Sunday. You know, the apostles, what have you been drinking? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And he goes, no, we're drunk with joy. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming. So Jesus says, I'm going to give a greater sign in the heavens than when I came on earth. When I came on earth, it was very important. Only a few knew about it. But now everybody has the opportunity to see what's going to happen on September 23rd. It's not the end of the world. September 23rd is not the end of the world. It's the great sign telling the world that the divine will is going to reign on earth as it is in heaven. What's that say to us? Well, we had a lot of wine yesterday, but I think we want to be drunk with joy. It's nothing to be afraid of. What's coming is the kingdom. And Jesus says, if you don't want this life, you don't deserve to have it. If you don't want to say fiat, I can't give it to you. A lot of people, when they read something and they light them out and they go, well, that's not going to happen to me. And Jesus says, that's absolutely right. It can't happen to you. The doubt, the worry, the fear says to Jesus, you don't want this. I've seen so many people read it and they go, well, that's for you. It's not for me. And you go, that's right. It's not for you. It can't be for you. I was with somebody a few weeks ago, and I've been trying for 20 years, probably more than that, to have this person read. And they're going, well, I'm not sure. I said, you know, the divine will isn't for you. It can't be for you. I said, I really am afraid you're not going to ever live in the divine will. And he goes, what do you mean? I want the divine will. I said, you don't even read. What do you mean you want the divine will? You got to hear from Jesus' mouth what Louisa wrote down on paper. See, and as you read, every time you read, it's something new. It's something more beautiful. It's something more powerful. Why? Because he expands our capacity. He said to Louisa, I can't breathe in you like I breathed into dirt, into Adam. Adam, there was no limit. I could breathe as much as I want into Adam. And I breathed my whole image and likeness in Adam, and he lost it. He says, your body is limited. I will give you as much as you breathe in, as much as you read. As you read, it's a puff. Every word is a puff that Jesus is breathing into you. You read that again, and it's more. You read it again, and it's even more fantastic. It's infinite. Jesus says there are many books. There's many libraries. He says there's only one book that will transform a soul, and that is the book of heaven. I believe what Jesus says. I believe what he says. And the church last year came out with a book on Louisa. The Son, S-U-N, of my divine will is Louisa Picaretta. Somebody said to me, well, where's the imprimatur? I go, it's from the Vatican. Where's the imprimatur? You don't need an imprimatur when it's from the Vatican. Here is Jesus saying to the writer of this book from the Vatican, who understood this second son that's coming is Louisa Picaretta. You know who said that? It was Padre Pio. St. Padre Pio knew of Louisa. And he said, Louisa is more of heaven than of earth. Louisa is a second son that will give light and life to everyone and everything. Okay, so you see the sun going down in the west, a new sun coming up. There will be no more darkness. Why? Finally, a human has the life, image and likeness. Now, we receive the image of God through holy baptism. With the book of heaven, as you read the truths, little by little by little, you receive the likeness of God. What is the likeness? That is to do what God does. How can we do what God does? Jesus says that. You'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than Jesus Christ? It's by Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Take a breath. When we get on a plane, Jesus never got on a plane. We're taking Jesus for a ride. Jesus, we're doing greater things than he did. I remember the first time I listened to the radio. Turn on the radio. I said, Jesus, listen in my listening. It was so beautiful. It was amazing. God, I was allowing God to hear in my hearing for the first time in my life. There are so many things that we don't let Jesus be part of in our life. So we do our Praveeni act in the morning. We do our actual acts throughout the day. And again, this is good. This is what God has asked. This is what Jesus did. This is what Mary has done. So Jesus says, Do you not want then to compensate my will for all these living human beings that creatures have cut off from it? Do you want to do everything that people have not done? Who hasn't allowed God to gaze in their gazing? Who hasn't let God hear in their hearing? Who hasn't let God to chew in their chewing? He says, in order to do this, you must suffer not a pain, but lack of divine life. That is my privation. In order to form his kingdom in you, my divine will wants to find in you all the satisfactions that all souls have not given to the divine will all of its lives, that it was to make arise in every soul. Otherwise, it would be a kingdom without a foundation, without giving it the rights of justice, and without its due reparations. Know, however, that your Jesus shall not leave you for too long, because I too know that you cannot live under the press of such a hard martyrdom. That's what Louisa went through for us. We did not have to go through this. Louisa did it already for us. See, God says, what I've given to Louisa, what I've given to her, is so powerful. It's what I wanted Adam to have from the beginning. He says, you, that's us, are too weak. Where we worry, we're fearful, we're anxious, we're complaining, we're negative, we're sinful. He says, you're too weak. I'm going to give it to the one who can do it. So what does Jesus say about Louisa? He says, I martyr you, I crucify you every day. And this is not just words. Aunt Rosaria, the one who took care of her for 40 years, would come into the room sometime and her whole bed would be covered with blood. Her whole floor would be covered with blood. And she'd panic and she'd run out, get some towels in the hallway, come running back in the room, and there'd be no blood. Because Louisa said to Jesus, don't let anybody know of this. I remember once when Louisa, Jesus says, can I chew in your chewing? And she goes, okay, as long as nobody knows. Jesus says, okay. So she takes a bite of food and this trumpet blast came out of Louisa's mouth. And everybody panicked. Everybody was panicking. And she said to Jesus, I thought you weren't going to let anybody know about this. And Jesus says, wait, listen to this, till you sound the trumpet and the whole world will shudder. September 23rd is the day after the Feast of Trumpets. Now, that's one of the titles Jesus gives Louisa. And then, what is it, October 5th is the Feast of Tabernacles. See, the church has everything that the Jewish faith has, but they don't have the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Sukkoth. They don't have that. That's the fall. Jesus inspired him to pray to the Lord of the harvest. He's the Rogationist, praying for vocations. And the Holy Father made him the head of all vocations of the world. If you want vocations, you pray to him. And you'll have vocations. But the Rogationist, the harvest hasn't happened yet. First Pentecost is the fruit. You got the asparagus, you got the raspberries, the strawberries, you got the rhubarb. It's the first fruit, and everybody was celebrating. Second harvest This is the great harvest, the second Pentecost. We haven't even seen anything. It's going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket. What is coming is so beautiful. What is coming is so wonderful. And Jesus says, I want you, us, to be alive at this time. This is magnificent. It is really, really magnificent. And he's just saying, read, and I'll show you so much. Remember what Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths. And St. John Evangelist said, if we could not write everything that Jesus did, it would fill all the libraries. That's the book of heaven. As you read it, there's more. As you read it again, there's more. As you read it again, there's more. How can this be? He's expanding our capacity to understand what he wants us to understand. And we are the ones that either enter into this gift or limit him. We are the ones. Nobody else. He says very clearly, this hard martyrdom that Louisa went through, our martyrdom is nothing. Our martyrdom is fiat. Let it be done as you say. And then, when we understand that our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin is crucified with Jesus, it doesn't belong to us anymore. When we realize this, when we begin to put this into practice, what happens? You are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Nothing can disturb you but your human will. And that's why Jesus is saying, surrender your human will. Every day, surrender your human will. Volume 20, October 12, 1926. Louisa, do you know what the first daughter delivered by my divine will means? It means not only to be first in the love and in all the things of her Creator, but to enclose within herself all the love of all the goods of all the other children, past, present, and future. So if the others shall possess each one as his own part, she, Louisa, as the firstborn, shall possess altogether the goods of all the others. And this gave everything. And this by right with justice, because as firstborn to her did my divine will entrust everything. Gave everything. Therefore in Louisa is the origin of all things. Louisa is the cause for which creation was created. Louisa was the purpose which the divine action and love entered the field. Louisa, who was to be the firstborn daughter of our divine will, was the primary cause of all the divine works of a God. Therefore, as a consequence, from Louisa derive all goods. From Louisa do they come. To Louisa do they return. See then, Louisa, how fortunate you are. You cannot fully comprehend what it means to have primacy in love in all things of your Creator. How can this be? Jesus says, where Adam fell, Louisa begins again. Why? How can a human begin where a man, Adam, possessed the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality? How can a human take the place of Adam? And Jesus says, this is what I gave to Louisa. Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This is why, 2005, when we were in Corrado, the cardinal said to us, the Vatican wants these writings published. All the writings of Louisa published in all languages. That's what was said in 2005. It didn't happen. So God is rearranging the furniture. And that's what's happened. The postulator left. I think you on the back page you have the postulator's his message. The new postulator, he's a good guy. He's from the Vatican. He's from the papal household. The Archbishop is gone. Archbishop Vicari was wonderful. He was a wonderful, dedicated Archbishop. Jesus wants this. We pray. This is one of the reasons we're praying at Holy Mass today We're praying for the next Archbishop, that he be on fire in love with Louisa. That he be the one to push Louisa. It's in his hands. It's not in the Vatican's hands. It's in his hands, the Archbishop's. Like he said to us, he said, Louisa is mine, he said. He says, don't harm Louisa Picaretta. That's what he said to us. And why? She's greatly misunderstood. You can take anything that I said here and you could twist it to be heretical. That's why I thank God we had the book last year from the Vatican. It's very clear, and this is why you have to have a priest helping you. The Archbishop says if you have the writings and you don't have a priest, you shouldn't be reading them. Why? Because the priest is the one who can explain it. And it cannot be done by the laity. Do you know what Father Bucci says? It would be as foolish for a layperson to stand at the altar and say, this is my body, for a layperson to proclaim the divine will. That's what Father Bucci says. As a matter of fact, the chalice on the altar Father Bucci gave me, that was used by St. Honorable de Francia in Corrado. Louisa had permission from Pope Leo XIII and St. Pius X to have daily mass in her room. And that was the chalice that was there. And Father Bucci gave that to me. So and I love to use it because her reflection is in that. I mean, you've seen the reflection of Our Lady in her eyes. There's the people that were there. In a similar way, in a mysterious way, in an unseen way, her reflection is still there. And what she said, in one of the writings, Jesus says, she looks behind her, she goes, who are all these people? Jesus says, these are the children that I have given to you. That's why I love using this chalice. Is behind you are in the chalice with Louisa. You're in that reflection in eternity. You're in the reflection of that chalice with Louisa. And this is something that Jesus will show you later on. I mean, you have to understand, Jesus is not 1,000,000,000 miles away. With Louisa, you have this intimacy with him. Why? Because the first bread, Jesus says, is the bread of the divine will that Adam ate. It's the bread of the divine will that Jesus and Mary devoured. The second bread, Jesus said, is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. The third bread is your wonder bread, your daily bread. But the second bread, he says, why do I come to you with communion? Why? It's to prepare the Catholics for the perennial communion with God, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. So as you begin to eat this bread of the first bread, the bread of the divine will, what happens at that point is your intimacy with Jesus gets, you fall more in love with Jesus than you ever could imagine. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother than you ever could imagine. How? How can this be? Because of the gift of Louisa. It's, Jesus says, with St. Louis de Montfort, it was to Jesus through Mary. Jesus now says, I want more than that. I want to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through Louisa. And that's what you get a glimpse of when you read the green book over there from the Vatican. This is so amazing that we are alive today. It is. And then just think about September 23rd. This has never happened in the history of mankind, what we're going to see. And it's not a prophecy. It's an actuality. You're going to see it in the stars. And this is how God is. He's so good. It's going to happen during the daytime. So you won't see it. But you will see it on the internet. You'll see what is happening. But he's going to do it during the day. That's our God. He loves to hide. He loves to remain hidden. He loves secrets. What's the biggest secret? Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament in every Catholic church. Nobody is there. Nobody is there. What's the great biggest secret? Our Lady, pray the rosary, wear the scapular. pray the rosary, wear the scapular. My father, I tried to convince my father to wear the scapular. I pray the rosary. And you have to wear the scapular. I pray the rosary. So when he was incapacitated on his deathbed, he wore a scapular. God's going to get his way. So what Jesus is asking us, he's asking us, would you be willing to enter into this new life that is very close? It's not, when people say, Jesus says, I'm with you to the end of time. Well, that's a couple billion years from now. No, time has to come to an end. Read Our Lady of Revelation. She says, my children are going to enter into eternity. The devil and his children will stay trapped in time and space. I don't want to be here. I want eternity. You know, the animals are still in paradise. They're still alive in paradise. We're the ones that left. They didn't. You cannot believe what's coming. It is so beautiful. It is so holy. It is so perfect. What's going to happen? As you continue to read, you're going to be wanting to live there. And Jesus says, okay, let's begin now. Let's not wait until you die. Let's begin now. That's why bilocation is so important. Close your eyes and go to the place where you were married. Close your eyes and go to the place where your last relative was buried. Go spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So God hears all mankind adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him, thanking Him with your voice. See, Mother Teresa picked up one baby at a time. That's beautiful. John Paul II went all around the world, talked to more people than any human. One at a time, he did this. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Jesus says, I want more. How can we do more? As you begin to pray in the divine will, Jesus is doing that. And it's glorious. But you have to, this is the thing. You have to keep on saying fiat. Teach me, Jesus. Teach me, Blessed Mother, how to do this. Jesus says this. I think we read it. Okay, we have primacy. Primacy. See, Louisa has primacy in everything. Where Adam lived the preternatural life. He was in the perennial communion with God. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. Jesus says, I want that to begin now with the souls living in the divine will. And that's what he's offering to us. Jesus says, oh, how, in November 1st, 1926, oh, how my divine will in the sea of all the of sings, excuse me, in the sea sings the praises, sings the love, sings and glorifies our divine power, our divine strength, our eternal motion that never stops. And if our justice forms its just roaring waves, such as to knock down the cities, knock down the peoples like a peaceful sea after the storm, our peace is never disturbed. And my holy divine will, veiled by the waters of the sea, says to man, be pure like these crystal clear waters. But if you want to truly be pure, move always towards heaven. Otherwise, you would be putrefied. You will putrefy these waters that are so pure, and would putrefy if they did. And they would be putrefied if they did not always move. Let the murmuring of your prayers be continuous. This is the rounds. If you want to be strong, if you want to be powerful like God, like me, like Jesus, if you want to knock down the strongest enemies and your rebellious human will that prevents me, Jesus, from unveiling myself and going out of this ocean, the sea, to come to reign in you and extend in you the peaceful sea of my grace, is it possible that you want to remain below the sea that glorifies me so much? Do you see what he's saying? The ocean is praising God. Every wave is, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. Every bird that chirps, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. We are the ones that are out of God's will. And Jesus says, I want you to enter into where I have chosen you to live. And that is one with God. Image and likeness. You too sing the praises of love. Sing the praises of glory to our purity, our power, our strength, and our justice, united to my holy divine will that awaits you in this ocean as its own daughter, as well as our eternal motion toward the creatures in order to do a good to them, and the continuous murmuring of our divine love through the created things that while it murmurs love, wants the continuous requital of the murmuring of the continuous love of souls. See, this is what Jesus is giving to us. This is so amazing. He wants us to enter into this life. It's really wonderful when you see this here. The oceans are praising God. The trees, as the wind blows through, are praising God. Jesus said to Adam, I want you to be the voices of everything. I says, I could make the rocks speak praise of God, but I don't want that. I want you, Adam, and your children to praise God and to love God and to adore God and to glorify God and to worship God continuously. That's heaven on earth. That's how we were supposed to live. And so he's saying to us now, I want you to enter this. I want you to be the drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. That drop of nothing enters into that cup filled with wine. And what happens? It becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. That drop of water becomes wine. And that's what he says. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. God wants us to share in his divinity. The book that came out last year on Called to be Children of God, it shows us what the church has taught about divinization. It's a glorious book. It points to Louisa. It doesn't get into the depth that Jesus teaches Louisa. But everything that the church has taught, everything that the fathers of the church have taught us, point to being divinized. That's why I like going to the Byzantine masses. Be attentive, be attentive. It's all about the divine will. And if you haven't attended a Latin mass, go to a Latin mass. Learn the Latin mass. Learn. Participate in the Byzantine mass, the divine liturgy. It will help you understand the holy sacrifice of the Mass much better. It'll help you to enter into this life, this living God that feeds us with himself. It's not to go to get something. It's go to honor God and to bless God and to adore God and to worship God, to glorify God. There's so much that God wants to give to us. He really, really wants us to have this. Pray that my divine will give them the divine qualities it exercised in the sea, so that it may come to reign in the midst of those who now keep the divine will rejected in the whole of creation. We are the ones that are stopping God from having his way, his rule, his kingdom. God wants us to accept the divine qualities. That's the last thing on here. That's the last stage. May we possess the divine qualities as much as possible as a creature can possess. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. God wants more. Do you think God's satisfied the way we're living? He says that to Louisa in the Three Appeals. He says, I know how you live and I'm tired of the way you're living. And he says, and since you haven't come to me, I am going to come after you. And then he says, and I'm going to wage war against mankind. But it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love. And mankind will not be able to push me away again. Think of the greatest day that you've ever had on earth. That's going to be the worst day in heaven. God has got heaven is coming to earth. And Jesus is asking us now to live heaven on earth. Don't wait until you die. Don't wait until you buy a coffin. Begin to live in the divine will now. This is what Jesus is asking. He wants us to have this more than anything. But November 20th, 1926, my daughter Louisa, Adam fell. This tearing, so harrowing. But in spite of this, he fell into the maze of his human will that gave him no more peace, either to him nor to his posterity. Oh. Did I stop somewhere? Pardon? Oh, thanks. I'm only human. Now you know what he has to put up with. What'd you say? Okay. It's better. Some things I say, you know, just to come out sideways. Okay. All right. Now, this is November 20th. Volume 20, November 10th, 1926. You got to look through these eyes sometimes. My daughter Louisa, Adam fell with this tearing so harrowing, but in spite of this, he fell into the maze of his human will that gave him no more peace, either to him nor to his posterity. All creation withdrew from him as though in one single breath. So think about this. Adam was separated from all of creation. All happiness, all peace, all strength, all sovereignty, everything withdrew from Adam. Adam remained alone within himself. Poor Adam, how much it cost him to withdraw from my most holy divine will. Just by feeling isolated and no longer surrounded by the cortege of the whole of creation, he felt such a fright and horror that he became the fearful man. See, this is everybody's afraid. And that's where we are. There is nothing to be afraid of. He was afraid of everything, even my very works, with reason, because it said, the one who is not with me is against me. And since he was no longer linked with them, with creation, by justice, they were to put themselves against him. That's why we have hurricanes, tidal waves, hailstorms, earthquakes, floods. When we sin, creation comes back at us. Now, let's just think about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Just a quick glimpse. I think they had a few parades there. Now we have parades all over the world. What did Our Lady of Kita say? Get ready for fire from heaven. What do we know about that fire? For those that love Jesus and Mary, Jesus says, it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The two hearts of fire are going to come to their children, and no harm can come to them. But for the rest of the world, they have to go. You have to understand, Sodom and Gomorrah was one city where they had parades. There's a lot that's coming. And that's just one aspect. We're not talking about the horrific things that are happening with drugs and alcohol, with abuse, the devil knows his time is coming to an end, and he is furious. And he's going to try to kill as many people as he possibly can. And we have to understand this thing with North Korea isn't by chance. It has to happen. What did North Korea, what did China say a month ago, which we've already forgotten? China said, if you go against North Korea, we will attack you, United States. What did Russia say a month ago? If you attack Korea, North Korea, we will attack you, United States. What did Our Lady say in some of her messages? It will be a domino effect. Okay, there's going to be a signal in the sky, you know, get ready. We're going to see it. And we're not going to be afraid. Everybody else is going to be wailing and grinding their teeth. We are not going to be afraid. If you don't understand the divine will, if you don't understand what Jesus is saying, that the kingdom is coming, you're going to say, what about my health? What about my finances? What about these nuclear power plants? What about... God says, I'm going to take care of everything. Do you trust me? Peter walked on the water. He says, command me to come to you. Jesus says, come. He started sinking when the waves started. It's going to get wavy and it's going to get turbulent. What did Jesus say to Peter? Did not, good job, you walked 20 feet. He says, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? It's the same thing that's going to happen here. Jesus wants us to enter into this life. He wants us to begin to live this life. And the sooner that we do this, the better it's going to be. Jesus says this very, very clearly. The one who is not with me is against me. That's where Adam is. That's where your family is. That's where your neighbors are. That's where your co-workers are. That's where your parishioners are. Jesus is saying to us, work with me. Come to me. And he says that to the apostles. Are you burdened? Is your life worrisome? Come to me. I will help you. My burden is easy. You know, it's light. So Jesus has great plans, okay? And if you haven't put the things in here, you know, there's plenty of time to put your petitions in. We will do, those that want to be Benedictine, it's very simple. You just got to promise to read half hour a day, which is ain't too bad. And we'll do the blessings of everything after Mass. And is there anything else? I had something written. Oh, yeah, and if you want a scapular, go see that lady that's there that's wearing it. Raise your hand, young lady. Okay. Go to her, okay, if you want a scapular. Okay, God bless you. We'll end in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.